Father, I thank you, Lord God, that it is the anointing that makes the difference. Lord, two people can sit and hear in a word, and one have their lives changed because of your anointing. So, Father, I pray for each one of us here, everyone who listens to this message by internet, by CD, by DVD, however, that, Lord God, your anointing would be present to minister to us in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Why don't you take your seats? Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good. He is so good. Hallelujah. Will you just turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1? To Psalm chapter 1. You know, this has always been one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I remember the very first time I bought a study Bible, standing in a Christian bookshop in central London about 20, 25 years ago, and sitting on the floor surrounded by Bibles. And the way I worked out which Bible I wanted to buy was I opened Psalm 1 in all of them, because I just love this psalm. But I've never ministered from it before. I've just always loved it. But then God started to speak to me a message that I believe is for every single one of us. So we're going to read verses 1 to 3 in Psalm 1. And it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. You know, there are three words that I just want to draw to your attention this morning. And the first word is blessed, blessed. That begins, that psalm begins with the word blessed. And I want you to remember, blessed just means happy. So turn to your neighbor and say, be happy. Blessed means happy, enviable. It means happy. The second word I want to draw to your attention is in verse 3, and it says planted. Do you know one of the things that is so important in life is when we reach that place of stability? I remember, because as I look back over my life, I can see the transformation. And one of the most important transformations was in my life was going from a person who was unstable, here, there, and everywhere, up and down like a yo-yo, pressing on with God for 3 months and then backsliding for 3. Amen. I'm just being real today. You know, and then there was a time when I became stable. Turn to your neighbor and say, stable. Stable. And then there's a third word I want us to look at, and it's this word, prosper. And you know what that word really means? It means successful. So in these three verses, we can learn how to be happy, stable, and successful. How many of you would like to know how to be happy, stable, or successful? You know, for you, there may be one of those. You know how God caught my attention just a few weeks ago again with this psalm? Because he was saying to me, Joe, I want you to be successful. And so you better work out how. But some of you, you really need some stability right now. Because when you look over your life, you see yourself going round and round and round the same old mountain. Amen? You see yourself going up to that place of, yes, I'm really going on with God at the moment. All's great. I'm praying. I'm in the Word. And then down to back where you used to be. You know, I remember I used to feel, has anyone ever seen those those games you can buy. They were around when I was a child. You know, my children think it's hilarious. Oh, well, when you were a child in the olden days, you know, there was no technology. So what on earth did you do? I said, well, we had this tennis game. Ping. Do you remember it? Ping, bong, ping, bong, ping. And they're like, Mummy, that's not technology. But we had this game, and it was like this this big wooden block. And the big wooden block had a piece of elastic attached to it with a tennis ball on the end. And so you could basically play tennis on your own. And you'd hit that ball, and it would come bouncing back. You'd hit that ball, boom. You know, it was quite hard to really get into a rally with yourself. But if you had no friends, then it was cool. But, you know, I used to feel like that tennis ball. I used to feel that every time I go forward, something just pulls me straight back again. That's how my life felt. You know, I really wanted to get it right with the Lord. I wanted to break out of my life of cycles. But I just did not know how. But then one day, hallelujah, turn to your neighbor and say, one day. One day, that's all you need. One day when something life transformational happens. Amen? Now I want us to look at three don'ts and two do's, or I'll say it the other way around, two do's and three don'ts in Scripture that this passage looks at. And if we can apply these two do's, not how do you do, you know, different sort, two do's, and three don'ts. Do you know what? We are on the road. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can go on the way. You can get there. Hallelujah. You know, the first one says, if we go to verse 1 or 2, if you can just put it back up there. Verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you know what this scripture is saying? It's saying, listen, don't follow the advice of people who don't know Jesus. Don't follow the advice or purposes or plans or ways of going about things that those who don't have what you've got are offering you. You know, Satan will just love it if your closest friend doesn't know better than you. If the person who you bear your soul to and share your deepest secrets with is somebody that hasn't got what you've got. You know, and this scripture, if we can just have it in the New Living Translation, please, Gifty, that would be wonderful. You know, we need to really look at who we listen to. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's a colleague at work. And you're thinking, what do I do now? I'm at a crossroads. My boss is a complete and utter beep, you know. You understand? Everyone's had one of those bosses. And the people at work are saying, you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to treat them like this. You can't stop. But we need to know which voices to listen to. We need to know who has the same purposes. You know, in the Amplified, that scripture talks about not listening to the advice, to the purposes, to the plans of those that are basically led by their own ideas, their own imaginations, their own knowledge. In the New Living Translation, we don't have it. Well, I can read it to you here in a moment. It says, a man of understanding in Proverbs 9, verse 5, will attain wise counsel. A man of understanding will get hold of wise counsel. You know, the enemy just wants to give you the wrong advice. And you need to work out, who am I going to listen to? God will always make sure there's someone who can give you the right advice. Do you remember where we were starting? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be stable? Do you want to be successful? So listen to the right people. Amen. Be careful about who you attend your ear towards. Hallelujah. The way it puts it in the New Living Translation is this: oh, the joys, I like that, of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord. The second one, the second don't, is don't hang around with sinners. This is so important. You know, one of the things I do over my children's lives, and way before my children started secondary school, what am I doing? I'm praying, Lord, send them the right friends. Father, let them be drawn to the right people. Father, may they have a sense of who the wrong ones are. You know, because they're young and impressionable. You see, when they're strong, then I want them to influence the wrong ones. But while they're still vulnerable, I want them to be around the people who are going to reinforce the good that they know. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, the Bible says, walk with the wise and you'll become wise. But if you're a friend or a companion, the Bible says, with fools, it will lead to your destruction. You know, whoever you hang, I want you to stop right now for a moment and have a little think. Who are the two or three people that you spend most of your spare time with? Just stop and think about that right now for a moment. The two or three people. Okay? You're going to become like them. Okay? You're going to, you see, I grew stronger and stronger the more time I spent with this man. It's true, though. You know, yeah, one of us, you see, I always say God had to send me this man because there had to be some humor in the family. You know, I'm so serious sometimes. Gosh, lighten up, Joe. So God gave me a very light husband. You know, but you will become like the people that you spend time with. You know, what's the saying? Don't stand around. Don't, you see, where do you go? When you've got some spare time, where do you go? Do you go to places where you're going to be built up and strengthened? Are you going to places where you're going to meet with the goodness of God? Are you going to places where you might meet that husband, that wife that God's got for you? Or are you going somewhere where you might meet a snake? Excuse me. Are you going somewhere where you may meet someone who doesn't care whether or not you want to protect your purity because they don't? Are you listening? You know what? We get bombarded all the time with temptations. You know, I think when we're single, we think that when you get married, the temptations stop. It's true. Single people, you kind of get this view, you know. Well, when I get married, phew, you know, the battle over my purity will be over. No! You know, what the enemy then wants to do is stop you, excuse me for being a bit real, but, you know, it's Sunday, so Sunday's a day to be real. You know, he wants to stop you going to bed with your husband or your wife, and he wants to try and attract you to someone else. You know, he wants to keep you out of the right place and in the wrong place. I was just, you know, honestly, it doesn't stop. I was telling my husband on Friday night, I was out ministering somewhere and I had a very long journey getting there because the trains were up the spout. And I saw the best looking guy I've ever seen. I did. Except on a movie set, I've never seen someone this good looking. He said it was him. Yeah. I mean, the best looking guy I've ever seen. And he was serving me in Starbucks. And it was freezing that day. I was in Starbucks because I was shivering like this. I was so cold. I mean, Ruth and I were going together. And by the time she saw me, I'd kind of warmed up slightly. But I was still shaking a bit. So I go into this place. And this guy's standing there in his T-shirt, strapping muscles coming out. You know, I mean, I think he knows Junior. I think Junior's been training him, you understand? The temptations don't go away. You know, being happily married doesn't take the temptations away, which is why we have to work constantly at having our hearts, our eyes, our mouths, everything in the right place. Are you hearing me? Listen, if you've grown disinterested in your husband or wife, just start talking about how gorgeous they are. Can I be honest? You know, the minute you start going, oh, he's just so amazing. Wow. Now, just forget you guys are here. You know, oh, you want to see my hunky husband. You know, when I married him, he was skinny. I mean, look at him now. And just, you know what I've learned to do? I can't even explain it, but sometimes I just put my hand on him. And it's like, mention my muscles quick, he's saying. But I just touch him and there's something I draw from him. And I'm like, ah. You know, something on the inside of me is just, you know, I do it. I sometimes just lie in the bed and just put my hand on him. You know, or just, you know, get a bit closer. But do you understand what I'm saying? You see, we've got to put ourselves in the right place. Do you want to be happy? Yes. Do you want to be stable? Yes. Do you want to be successful? Yes. Please, can I say this from the depths of my heart? Don't go to the places when you're going to be tempted to go to the wrong places with the wrong people or do the wrong things. Just don't go there. It's better to be bored and lonely at home, staring at four walls, than to be dancing with some seductress. Listen to me. Do you know what? It's better to be at home drinking a glass of water from the tap than to be drinking some stuff that's going to make you do some things that you wouldn't do if you hadn't drunk it. Really, this is a message of love. Because you know what? God wants you, and I so desire as your pastor to see you successful, to see you happy, to see you stable. And we get it by being in the right place at the right time. Do you know, when I look at the close friends God's given me, I'm so grateful because I get a little bit more like them every time I spend time with them. Are you hearing me? Draw close to people that when you shut your eyes and you imagine Jesus' presence, that you think, Lord, I want to be like that one. Draw close to the people who are a bit further than you are in the things of God. Draw close to the people who've overcome the temptations you're still trying to conquer. Draw close to the people who can help you fulfill your God-given destiny. Yeah. Amen. When you walk with the wise, you become wise. When you walk with fools. You know, it looks fun at the time, but it ain't fun. I've been there. Remember, I've been saved but messed up. I've been a backslidden Christian with going to church on a Sunday and then out at the parties during the week. And let me tell you, the end of that, you end up being fully backslidden because you can't stay with a foot in both worlds. You can't do it. And not only that, do you know that was one of the darkest times of my entire life? Because I'd seen what it's like to know the Lord. I'd experienced his kindness. And you know, it's just the wounds and the insecurity in our hearts that makes us seek love anywhere else. You know, real pleasure, that word delighting in the law of the Lord, it's the same word as taking pleasure in. You know, real pleasure only comes in the presence of God, only comes doing his will and being in his ways. Do you know, my life is such fun now. I used to think I knew what fun was. But I have fun. You know, we've got to remember, serving Jesus is just such fun. I get to go places I could never have gone. You know, and serving Jesus is fun. Serving Jesus is exciting, is invigorating. And it's not all head in the clouds of spirituality. You know, God's made sure in my life, I've got, you know, my My husband is the biggest joker I know, and the second biggest sort of like fun-loving joker I know is my best friend, Larissa. So between the two of them, they keep me laughing, and I keep them serious when they need to be. But God wants you to have a great life, but the right way. Amen? You know, I want to encourage you. There's a third don't we're going to look at. It says the righteous should choose his friends wisely, carefully. For the wicked, and wicked just means twisted, someone who doesn't yet know the truth. The wicked leads them, the righteous, astray. You're hearing that? The wicked lead the righteous astray. They don't mean to. You know, they can have a really good heart. That's why it's your job to get strong so that ultimately you can be their salvation. Amen? You can't be their salvation when you're still in that unstable place. And even when you're stable, you can then invite them to where you are. You can meet them for a coffee. There's, you know, I mean, Starbucks is open till like 10 o'clock. But now, don't go looking for that guy. Girls, I'm not even telling you which Starbucks he works in. Yes. The third one, don't join in with mockers. Do you know the Bible says that God scorns the scornful but gives favor to the humble? Why is there a relationship between, why is God comparing scornful with humble? Because the only time when we mock or scorn or ridicule, sneer at another is when we are standing in that place of somehow I'm a bit better than you. And you know, one of the reasons we sometimes do it is when actually we're feeling like the opposite. We'll put someone down because they're doing what we know we should really be doing. And so we'll try and make them feel small because everything that they do is convicting us. I remember when I was backslidden, God sent me two friends. And once I rededicated my life, I was able to look back and say he gave me two friends, Mercy and Truth. Mercy was my friend called Pip, and many of you may have met her. She visits every now and then. She's now a pediatric consultant. But she was just always full of mercy when she saw me. She'd be just like loving me, not asking where I was last night, not noticing what time in the morning I came back, not listening, not smelling what was on my breath. She was mercy. But my other friend, oh boy, she was truth. Claire. How many of you know Claire Reynolds? And when I saw her, it was like, you know, I wanted to keep away from her. Because when I saw her, I was seeing what was going on in my life. But you know what these friends did? They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. You know, there's someone praying for you. There's someone praying for the transformation in your life. There's someone praying until you say, I'm going to get fully out of the world and fully into the things of God. You know, and don't give up giving up until you've broken through. Amen? Amen? Sitting in the seat of the scornful, that's when we just put people down, when we are mocking at the things in other people's lives that maybe they struggle with. You know, I'm amazed when I see the sorts of things that God actually repels. Many things he just overlooks and loves us anyway. But some things literally repel the heart of God. And that is one of them, scorn. A scoffer, listen to this, a scoffer seeks wisdom but does not find it. You know, if we become those who are sitting in a seat of mockery or judgment against our brother or sister, when we really need help, when we're at those crossroads and we're saying, Holy Spirit, I need some wisdom. You know, he wants to get that wisdom to us. He wants to release it, but he's saying, come on, get out of that seat. Don't sit around with people who are mocking. Don't sit around and relax and enjoy the jokes of those who are putting others down, because God is a God who wants to lift up the humble. He's a God who wants to bring high those who are down low. And so he wants us to emulate that quality about him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, this all says he shall be like a tree planted. A tree planted. You know, that's one of the most stable things, isn't it? What happens is the better your roots are, the greater your fruits are. Amen. Shall I say that again? Yes. The stronger your roots are, the more amazing your fruits are. You see, that tree planted by the river of life, by the things of God, hooked in, locked in, that speaks of stability. And one of the scriptures that has always been in my heart is where it says in James 1:8, in the New King James Version, it puts it like this. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. Now, what does that mean to be double-minded? It means when we're saying, I serve God, but I want to run after this. Double-minded. I give my all to God and I want to serve him, but I'm going to withhold the tithe. I give the Lord my everything and I'm worshiping on a Sunday and singing, I surrender all. Except I'm still going to go to that party next Saturday, no matter what she preaches, then I'll repent afterwards. I surrender all. But I'm still going to have coffee with that really nice guy because she thought she saw the best looking guy, but actually he's in my office. All to thee, my blessed. And I just love to have a laugh at others. Saviour, I double-minded. It's when, and you know the thing about being double-minded is it doesn't mean we're a bad person. Being double-minded is one of the most trying and traumatic places to be because the battle going on the inside, the rage, the lack of peace is horrible. How do I know? You know how I know. I know what that's like. You know, and God doesn't want you and I to be double-minded. The New Living Translation, I'm going to quickly get it up because it's amazing the way it puts it. It says, this verse talking about, instead of saying a double-minded man, it says, their loyalty is divided between God and the world. And they are unstable in everything that they do. Divided loyalty. A bit here and a bit there. Never, ever, ever can we be happy that way. What does the Bible say? I'd rather you're hot or cold. You know, because God knows himself that it's a very dark place to be. And you know, one of the things I can just reassure you, if you struggle, whether it's that you really know that your goal is to be rich, you really know actually I come to church on a Sunday, I lift up my hands, I love the presence of God, I enjoy him, he's been good to me, but actually I've been through stuff, I've seen the back end of too much stuff, and really now my goal is to get rich. You know, you'll never be happy like that. You know, it's not that God doesn't want to release goodness into our lives. He wants his people to have reservoirs. Amen? But when our sole goal is no longer pleasing God, but it's just get rich or die trying. It's whatever the cost, I'll be in church. You know, I'll be in church on Sunday unless I could be at work. And then I'll be at work. You know, sometimes we, you know, we have jobs and we have demands placed upon us and we have to be in work when we want to be in church. But that's different to that attitude of whatever it takes, I am just going to make, I'm going to seek first. I'm going to seek first riches. I'm going to seek first my business. I'm going to seek first promotion. And then all these other things of me seeking God will be added somehow afterwards. When I get there, you know, God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be happy. And the way to do it is his way. His way is strife-free. You know, we have to be diligent, we have to work hard, but God's way is the best way. God's way is the highway. And God's way is the way of liberty and freedom. You know, I've seen the goodness of God. I've seen him promote me. I've seen him open doors for me. I've seen when I've cried out and said, God, I remember when I bust up my car. How many of you remember my beautiful blue car that I once had? Wave at me if you remember my beautiful blue car that I once had. Oh, Lord, and that car was beautiful. I had a convertible, imagine. It was really beautiful. And a little Peugeot. My husband doesn't understand why I like what he calls Peugeots or something. But it was a lovely car. And it was nice and shiny. And yes, that's funny, is it? But it was a lovely colour. You know, when people tell me they've got a new car, I say, well, what colour is it? Make? Don't know about that. But the colour. I loved the colour. One of my favourite colours. And I was driving that car. And, you know, I learned something really important that day, which is look first and then pull out. Just a tip for the drivers in the house. I mean, I was edging so slowly across that line, but the minute your wheel is even an inch across that line, you are culpable. And that person literally drove straight into me, but my wheel was an inch across the line. And of course, I told the insurance company my wheel was across the line. Are you sure your wheel was across the line, madam? It wasn't my fault. Madam, are you sure your wheel... Yes, my wheel was across... Are you certain, madam? Yes, my wheel was across... You know, I had my get out, but I prefer integrity. Amen? So then I have to ring my husband. I mean, this thing is smashed. Hey, I mean smashed. You know, and I was like, oh, my Lord, the insurance. What is going to happen? Because what I didn't mention is what happened 6 months earlier, but we won't go there, when I was reversing. Anyway, the blue car is in my past. We talked about what's in the past, didn't we? So I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, the insurance. I'd heard stories of people who've written off their cars and their insurance premium ends up being like thousands of pounds. So I get before God and I said, Father, I need £1,000 and I need it fast. And I wanted to be able to hand this £1,000 to my husband. Do you know what I mean? Like, you see, the man who never crashes, who never gets a parking ticket, you know, Mr. Perfect, who never, ever, ever incurs a fine. And I used to collect parking tickets. This was the problem. You know, so I was like, God have mercy. I need £1,000. You understand? God wants to give us good things. You know, and literally within 10 days, someone came to me and said, God told me to give you this, handed me a check for £1,000. Then when my insurance came through, I'd been told it's going to go up to way over £1,000 a year. The exact same thing had happened to someone else, over £1,000. It came through under £300 a year. It hadn't even gone up. It had come down. Miracle! Why am I telling you that? God wants to give you good things. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants you to be successful. But he wants you to do it his way. Turn to your neighbor and say, his way is the only way. Well, there is another way, but you don't want to know about it. And it isn't the TSB way. Yes. Praise God. Let your heart be loyal to the Lord, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments. Do you know the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro across the face of the earth, looking for someone who is loyal. Say loyal. Loyal. That he may show himself strong on his behalf. Would you stand to your feet, please? We're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God understands our weaknesses. God doesn't look at you, he doesn't look at me and go, how on earth could he do that? How could she be so distracted? He doesn't. He looks at us, and the Bible says he understands. Isn't that amazing? He understands you. The number of times I've thought in my heart, Lord, why did you put up with me? You know, the minutes God shows me a certain area in my heart or character, I think, but God, how did you allow that to remain in me for all those years? It's because he understands. He knows where you're coming from, but he also knows where you're going to. He has your final destination in the center of his heart. Thank you, Jesus. Just shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you so much that you are able to give us the strength to conquer in the areas where we have previously struggled and struggled. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you've got enough favor, enough mercy available to bring us to that place. So right now, just as you're in the presence of the Lord, if God's been speaking to you and you're saying, you know, you may have been, there may not even be anything in particular that God's convicting you about, but you're just saying, Lord, I want to be all the more loyal. I want to be undivided in the way that I serve you. Just right now, just lift up your hands before the Lord and just tell him, Lord God, Father, I want to be loyal to you. I want to serve you alone. I don't want to be pulled this way and that way. Some of you right now in this place, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to surround you with the right people. Father, I pray, Lord God, that where there are friendships that are leading us astray, that, Lord God, you would give us the strength to withdraw, even if it's just for a season, from those people, from those friends. We will pray for them, but Lord God, I pray for every single one that needs new friends in this place. God, I pray that you would release the right relationships, the right friendships. Oh, Heavenly Father, your word says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens the countenance of his brother. Father, I pray for divine connections, divine relationships, for heaven-sent friendships in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. And Father, I pray that we would all be loyal in our hearts to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just make that your prayer now for that loyalty to the Lord. If there's something that you need to lay aside, then just lay that aside right now. And just, as they say in America, pledge allegiance, but to the King of Kings. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you.